Let us now turn again to the part of God's word that we read, the book of Psalms, and Psalm 56. Psalm 56, we will read again from verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And the Lord helping us, we want to consider this psalm, and especially these last few verses of the psalm. The inscription includes the words, Jonath Elam Rekokim. And breaking down these words, the Hebrew words may be translated, Jonath is dove, which is a symbol of innocent suffering. And Elam is silence, which brings before us an uncomplaining submission. And the last word, Rekokim, means remote or distance, that which is distant and far away and surrounded by strangers. And so it has been translated, the silent dove in distant places. And this all seems appropriate to David's situation when he was forced to leave his people and dwell in the wilderness, and when he was in the hands of his enemies in great danger, the Philistines, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Miktam of David, the word Miktam is more obscure, it perhaps means golden, a golden psalm, or it may simply mean a writing of David. But it's when the Philistines took him in Gath, and that seems to be referring to the account of 1 Samuel chapter 21, and also the psalm that we sang, Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and departed, or Achish. So David was in great danger. And though he was not sinless, yet he was sincere. And he was innocent of the charges that his enemies threw upon him. And he confides in God, God as his protector. He desired to please God and do his will, and he is confiding in God for his care and protection. And he knows that God will deliver him, and he feels all the more obligated to perform his vows when he says, Thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee. And while there are many edifying themes in this psalm and even in these last few verses, we will limit our heads to three. And the first is the conquest of the enemy. David is assured that his enemies will turn back. This I know, for God is for me. The conquest of the enemy. Secondly, the care of God. God is for me, he says. God knows his wanderings, and his tears are all recorded. And that is the care of God. And thirdly, the confidence of the believer. He says, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me because he is putting his trust in the Lord. He's assured that God has already delivered him from death, and he will continue to deliver his feet from falling, that he might walk before God in the light of the living. The conquest of the enemy, the care of God, and the confidence of the believer. David is assured that there will be a conquest of the enemy. The enemy will be defeated. The enemy will turn back. Verse 9. He is in great danger. He's surrounded. He's surrounded by strangers. He is in a remote condition. He feels far away from safety, and he's surrounded by hostile forces. And David is afraid. In himself, he's not a man of steel. He is even overwhelmed. And we find that in 1 Samuel chapter 21, when David fled that day, that very day, for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish brought David to the king. And we read in verse 12 there, David laid up these words in his heart, that is, that the enemies were saying, Saul hath slain his thousands. This is what people have been saying about David. We know who this man is, the enemies of David were saying. And David heard that, and he laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid. Here's David, sore afraid. He was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. That's when he changed his behavior before them, and so on. So David was very frightened, and he needed God's help. And so he says in this psalm, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Whenever he's afraid, he knew what to do. He would trust in God. And the Lord's people are sometimes afraid. They are tried greatly. They are harassed by Satan, tempted severely. They are hurt by the world. And the Lord knows their condition. The Lord knows their solitude in their surroundings, surrounded by hurtful influences. And so the Lord says of his people, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And the Lord hears all the cries of his people. He hears all the cries that the enemy extorts from his people. And how this greatly, as it were, draws the Lord to his people. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So, knowing, friends, that the Lord hears all the cries of his dear children that the enemy brings out of God's dear people, we should ask ourselves, which side are we on? Are we among those who are hurt, or are we hurting others? Are we among those who are God's dear children who are weak and are being hurt by the enemy? Or are we on the side of the enemy and we're actually hurting God's people? Of course, even God's people may hurt one another. That is true, and that is sad. But when it comes to being on the Lord's side or on the enemy's side, there's really no in between. We are either firmly on the Lord's side, believing in Christ and endeavoring to obey him, or we are not. And if we are not, are we actually weakening the cause of Christ? Are we, because we're not firmly on his side, are we hurting God's people, making them grieve because we're still not with them and supporting them, and they're doing what they can to draw us back, and they're praying for us, and they're grieved because of our indifference, and we're not ready to serve the Lord. Do you see where I'm coming from? Which side are we upon? Are we strengthening the cause of Christ because we love the cause of Christ, or are we weakening the hands of God's people and not helping them along? Which is it with us? Well, the day will come when it will be very clear whose side we are on and how we need to flee to Christ, that we would be among God's people and that we would have grace in our hearts, cry the Lord, that the Lord would put grace in our hearts, that we would be firmly on his side as trees planted by his grace in the fertile soil of a new heart in the cause of Christ, in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is David. He feels surrounded by harmful forces, enemies to his soul, and he is crying to God. And he knows that the enemy will be defeated. They will all turn back, just as when David was a young man and he took his sling and a stone and he struck down the giant of Gath, even Goliath, and the whole camp of the Philistines fled away. And he says here, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back." He knows that God will give him the victory. Verse 7, "Shall they escape by iniquity?" If they confide in their own evil devices and their schemes and their plots, will they win the battle? Will they overcome God's people? Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. The enemy will turn back, and God's people will have the victory. The enemy will have to release their prey and give up their victims and let God's people go, because God's people will be protected. The enemy will be defeated because God is stronger than the enemy, and he has all power to conquer Satan, to have total, complete conquest over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Lord will come for their deliverance, and he comes, why? Because he truly cares for his people. So that's the second point, the care of God's people. And we see this in verse 8. "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Thou tellest my wanderings. David was wandering. He was a fugitive. He was in exile. He was having to leave the comfort of the palace. He could no longer be a captain in the armies of Israel, not recognized any longer, but the king of Israel, Saul, had more or less made it clear to the whole country that David was an outlaw. So David had to flee away. And so David was wandering. And it may also reveal his perplexity, his confusion. Where is he going to be? Where is he going to go next? And yet he is confiding in the Lord. And he's saying, "Thou tellest my wanderings." It wasn't David alone who knew he was in a confused state, but God knew exactly where David was. And more, God was telling his wanderings. It means he was counting. God was counting and knowing specifically and numbering, telling by number, all the wanderings, all the turnings and windings of David's journey. God knew exactly where David was, and he cared. "Put thou my tears into thy bottle." The bottle of God's memory. Everything that David went through was being recorded. And all of David's tears, his sadness, his despondency, being overwhelmed. "When my heart is overwhelmed within me," we sang it in Psalm 119 a few moments ago. The psalmist was overwhelmed, and he is confiding in God that God would collect all his tears and put it into his bottle, a wineskin, not a tiny bottle, but a large bottle. How many were the tears that gushed from David's eyes at times because of his great sadness and his despondency, being cut off from his people and forced to go so near the camp of the enemy and to dwell among the goats and the rugged hills. David felt far off from the place where the worship of God was, and how it drew tears from his eyes. But they were all in God's bottle. Every tear that came from his eye, God knew, and God recorded it all, and It's showing that God truly cared for David in his situation. It was impossible for God not to notice all that David went through. And so God knows all that his people go through today. Every perplexing circumstance, every tried condition, it is all known to God. He takes it all into account. It's all before him. It's in his memory, if we can use that word to describe God's omniscience. It's in his bottle. It's in his book. It's recorded. Everything. Everything that they go through. All their trials, all their pains, every experience they have of hardship, the Lord knows exactly what they endure. And if God records all the cries of his people, will he not therefore come quickly to their aid? And if there was a father who had a child and saw the child surrounded by bullies, and the child was beginning to weep and to cry out for help, the father would come quickly for the child's rescue. And so, and every it's as if every sigh and cry that the child utters is another motive for the father to come and overcome the bullies and lay them low. And so God will come quickly for his people's help and will conquer the enemy because he cares for his people. He knows their perplexities. He knows their sorrows, and he comes down to deliver them. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? All the tears and cries and groans, especially when they are extorted by the enemy, when Satan harasses, when the world intimidates and taunts, and their own sins, their great battles against the old man, which they are firmly opposed to, and they're crying, O wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The cries, the groans, God hears their cries. The Lord Jesus Christ sympathizes with them in their struggles, and he is inclined to help them. Yes, even to battle against sin. And so if you're here today and you say, I don't know if it's the devil tempting me, I'm not sure about the world, but I know I have a wicked heart and it grieves me and I'm trying so hard to fight it. If you're sincerely trying to fight against sin, the Lord Jesus cares, and your groans incline him to come quickly to your aid. Confide in him then. Follow the example of David, his urgent entreaty to God, lifting up the voice, crying to him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who hears the weak groans and cries of his people, so that the enemy will turn back, God will help them, and it will be great confirmation that the Lord is true to his word. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. God cares for his people. Not only does he hear their cries, but he has promised to help them. And he confirms that promise by actually coming to rescue them and fulfilling his promise. And so David knows that. And as we read in Psalm 57, verse 2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. God not only promises, but he performs. He does not only say he will help, he actually does help. And this has been proven again and again. His promise never fails. And so it is, it was in David's experience, and so it is the experience of God's people today. They know from experience, especially those who have been several years converted, and as time goes by, they see again and again the Lord coming for their help. And so they know, not just from the word, but from their experience, the proof of what God says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And as Paul confirms in Philippians chapter 4, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He says, and we have experienced this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Will not the child of God then praise the Lord for his word? He says, "In God will I praise his word," which either means that by the grace of God and in God and in the strength of God, I will praise his word, or that which in God is most the object of my praise is his word. Many things in God we should praise him for, but it is his word that David is acknowledging most of all, because he has seen God true to his word. David knows that he may firmly trust in the promise of God. And so we go on in the third place to consider the confidence of the believer. The confidence of the believer, verse 11, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." In God have I put my trust. David is confiding in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. And so, trusting in the Lord, he is not afraid of man. He was afraid. He was sore afraid. But trusting in the Lord, he's not afraid. He says, "What time I am afraid, when I feel fear welling up in me, I will trust in thee." Whenever the time is, whatever the case may be, when I'm afraid and whatever I'm afraid of, I will trust in thee. Does that describe you tonight? When you're afraid, do you take a verse like this and say, "This is the experience I need to have"? When I'm afraid, and whenever I'm afraid, and whatever I'm afraid of, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in him. Don't let anything stop me from trusting in the Lord. That is the most important thing for me, is to trust in the Lord. Whatever I face, I must trust in him. People talk about resolution and conviction today. We must be resolved to trust in God. Pray for that resolution. Pray for that conviction. Whatever I receive from the Lord, may this be what I desire most, that I would trust in him at all times. And that is why he will not be afraid of man. First he says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That is humanity as opposed to any other power, especially flesh opposed to God. Then he makes it very clear, I will not fear what man can do unto me. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me, verse 11. Man will do his utmost. The world, the flesh, and the devil, their combined force will try to bring us down, but their power is limited, and therefore they will be defeated. The enemy will turn back, and David says, "This I know." See how confident he is. "This I know," verse 9, "for God is for me." God's power is engaged for my benefit. He has promised it. He has made it clear in his word that the power of God is given to Christ for the benefit of his people. And so we should follow David's example, confiding in the Lord. "The fear of man indeed bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." God is on the side of his people, and therefore they don't need to be afraid. They don't need to be afraid of man whose breath is in his nostrils, And when he perishes that day, that very day, his thoughts perish and decay. And as a result of this deliverance, David feels indebted to God. So he says in verse 12, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee." David had promised to serve the Lord. Now, that's what a vow is. A vow is a promise to God. And having made that promise and seeing God delivering him, he feels bound, rightly so, to show thankfulness to God and praise him. To praise him, rendering praises unto God, is to render thanksgivings and thank offerings, offering sacrifices. So there was the literal offering up of lambs and goats and so on in the ceremonial law. Now, of course, today we do not offer up goats and calves or bullocks or any animals as sacrifices to God, but we are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, to show our gratitude, not only with our words, not only with songs of praise, singing the Psalms, but by keeping his commandments. And if we have made a vow, which we do in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, then we should perform our vows and keep our promises to God and seek grace to do what we have committed ourselves to doing, and that is to be serving the Lord fully. Has anyone promised to God that they would serve him just partly? No, our resolves are to serve him fully. So let us seek grace to serve him fully, wholeheartedly, to devote our minds, our bodies, our whole selves to God in service to him. Not necessarily by holding office in the church, but by serving him in every calling he may have us go about, whatever the employment may be, whatever the duty is, that we would do our work heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, for it is the Lord Jesus Christ whom we serve. Are we devoted to him? Are we desiring to follow him? Are we resolved to follow him? We should be. We should pray for that resolve. That's what repentance is, with a full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. As Barnabas said to the Christians, that they should cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. So at the very last verse, David is assured from God that what God has done for him in the past, he will do for him in the future. The past is an indication of the future. He says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." David experienced deliverance. God saved David from falling a victim to the hand of the enemy in Gath and elsewhere. God has preserved David, so David is assured from that, that God will continue to keep David safe. "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" To walk before God is to continue in the enjoyment of his favor. To walk before God in the light. Light is speaking of comfort. When it's dark, it's gloomy. But when there is light, there is comfort. And so David is encouraged to know, to believe, and he is persuaded that committing himself to the Lord, God will keep him still, that he would not slip and fall into sin, and that he would enjoy peace with God. And so it is with God's people. They are praying to him who is the light of the world, that they would be kept from evil, kept from falling into sin, kept from being overwhelmed and conquered by Satan. They will continue on in the enjoyment of the favor of God, trusting in him. Remember, we cannot plead the promise if we refuse to trust in God. But in everything, we're to, by prayer and supplication with thanksgivings, let our requests be made known unto God, praying to him, trusting in him, as David, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. And everyone is invited to come to him who is the light of the world. Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And he is saying, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So he is calling everyone. Are we not in need of this light? Are we not in need of protection? Do we not need salvation? So come to him who is the only one who can save us, the one who gives light and life, because he is the prophet to reveal to us God's salvation. He is the priest to save the soul from death, from guilt, from eternal death by his blood through the offering up of himself as a sacrifice for sin. And if you trust in him, you will be forgiven. You will be saved from the torments of hell, saved from being completely overwhelmed by the evil one, saved from despair. You will not be hurt by the second death. Satan will harass, but he cannot harm. And you will cry out in great need, yes. But your cry will be heard, just as David's, and you will have the confidence to say with him, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.